Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 131 of Nerd Pride Radio. 131. 131 years in the future. In the year 2147, Captain Power and the soldiers of the future battle Lord Dredd and his Bio-Dredd Empire. Yeah, that's right. Awful slash awesome TV from 1987. Captain Power. All right, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. Ask me again.
How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, Donald Trump's toupee. But we're straight into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. Something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week. I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod. The best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, what's first on the master list? It's Pod People!
Pod People! Pod People! Pod People!
Yeah, the first thing I should mention is that I was interviewed on another podcast this week. So the Fantasy Movie League podcast, I've mentioned many times that I'm playing the Fantasy Movie League over at fantasymovieleague.com. And recently, I, with the help of Masters 8, my best friend in the world, still my best friend in the world. Okay. Anyway, we started doing a bit where we gather people's estimates of how much movies are going to make every week. And then we take all those numbers from everyone's estimates and it's crowdsourcing, our gameplay. So he plays an account where he takes the averages of all those accounts. And I, because I'm much nerdier, I have an account where I play the median of all those numbers. And then we see how they perform. How well does crowdsourcing work for estimating, movie box office totals? For the first 2 weeks, well, kicked butt. This week, probably not so well. But either way, it's an interesting experiment. We're just going to see how it plays out. And Pete, the Fantasy Movie League nerd who runs the Fantasy Movie League podcast, called me up and said he wanted to interview me about that and a couple other things. And so I did that earlier this week. If you have any interest in the Fantasy Movie League or you just like hearing my voice, and I know you all do, go over to the Fantasy Movie League podcast and check out it is spring season week 3. That's the episode that I'm on. But, you know, otherwise, it's a lot of nerd talk that dives really deep into the actual gameplay of Fantasy Movie League. So maybe it's not for all of you. But again, if you have an interest, head on over there. It's actually a really cool podcast. And, well, if you're playing Fantasy Movie League, it's a really cool podcast. The other thing about that, by the way, something I noticed interesting, this is a second separate topic, but it was kind of spurred by having been on the Fantasy Movie League podcast and hearing their listening to myself, and then I also listened to a few other episodes, obviously. First off, actually, this is not the topic I was going to talk about, but also the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Yeah, their initials FML. Yeah, I can sympathize. You know, you pick a name for yourself, and you think you're doing really well with it, and then you realize that oh yeah, your initials are unfortunate. Suddenly, I'm NPR. I'm stuck with being NPR. Forever. And no, not that NPR. No, Nerd Pride Radio, the real NPR. God, what's wrong with you people? Well, poor Fantasy Movie League has to be FML forever. So it's really, really tough to go put claims on stuff when your initials are already taken out by some much bigger entity, as would be their case. But anyway, the other thing about them is they do something I've never seen on other podcasts, at least not ones that I listen to, is that they open up their show with an ad, which is not unusual. Lots of podcasts have advertising, but their ad, it's literally like the first one I listened to was a Geico ad. I mean, like just flat up a 30-second or 20-second Geico ad. It was really quick, really fast, in and out. And then during the course of the show, they played like three or four total Geico ads. And Geico isn't their only sponsor. They've had other ads that have gone in that. But it was jarring and unusual because I'm not used to that on podcasts. I'm used to old-style radio advertising on podcasts where it's always the hosts themselves talking about whatever, whether it's, Audible.com or Stamps.com or ProFlowers or, I mean, there's a million of them that come up on Loot Crate. Boy, it comes up all the time on the podcasts I listen to. And you're used to hearing the hosts just kind of blend into it as a natural extension of their conversation. And, there's some entertainment value to that because, okay, yeah, it's an ad, but, the host, somebody that I actually, know and listen to, I choose to listen to their podcast. They're the ones actually talking about the product, and a lot of times they'll have some good back and forth, and there's good discussion. And so it's entertaining while you're listening to it, but it's still an ad. And the downside to those is that whenever they have the natural ads built into a podcast, it always seems like I feel like they're contracted for a minimum of 2 minutes because it seems like that's how long they talk about whatever product it is at least 2 minutes goes into it every time. And boy, that's a lot of time for an ad. Whereas these Geico ads, again, jarring. It's just a regular old commercial. But on the other hand, it was so short that it wasn't even worth grabbing the player to fast forward through it. So I actually wound up listening to the entire ad. And after I got used to them being there, I realized I didn't mind them because I knew they'd be fast. I knew they'd be, here's Geico again. Okay, over, done, good. Let's move on with content. As opposed to, man, as much as I love the No Sleep podcast, No Sleep, and it's not just ads because it's other stuff as well, but No Sleep, every episode that I listen to, my first step is to sit there fast forward, fast forward, fast forward, because my fast forward button skips ahead 30 seconds, and it is always minimum 4.5 minutes before the actual story starts for No Sleep. Sometimes I had one that was as long as 8 minutes. 8 minutes of not content at the beginning of it. And they do advertising. And yes, they do their intro stuff. I mean, I've got, a minute's worth of theme song for my intro. Hold on, it's doing that again. Why does it jump like that? I don't get it. For some reason, at the beginning of every podcast, somewhere in the first 10 minutes, my volume, my recording volume, decides to jump up to maximum for no good reason. I don't know why. So at least I'm looking at it and I catch it this time. So, but like I say, No Sleep will give me, again, it's their intro, it's their music, and then it's, here's how you can get the premium episodes, and here's all of our special content, and here's an ad or two. And like I say, 8 minutes worth before I'm finally getting into actually listening to content. Easy enough to skip over, but boy, that is a lot to go through. Anyway, so I'm not saying one's any better than the other, but it was just different. And like I say, it's just interesting to hear actual real commercials, professionally made commercials, just inserted into a show, which is probably going to be the future of podcasting, is my guess. But we'll see how it all pans out. Anyway, enough about podcasts. My next segment, really quick, Roku! Yeah, my Roku box, that's the box I use to watch all my streaming services since I don't have cable anymore. All of my TV comes through the Roku box. And this week, at the recommendation of, was it Farva? Anyway, somebody over at Fantasy Movie League recommended that I watch Twin Peaks. It was last week. It was last week he asked me on the show. Week before, the last real episode. He asked me on the show if I had ever watched Twin Peaks, and I hadn't. And so now I am. And I'm about, I'm on episode 5 now. And first episode in, most of you have probably already seen Twin Peaks, and so I'm just, talking to myself here, but that's fine. I like me. The first episode, it took me a little bit to get it, and the thing that got me on it, look, if you haven't watched Twin Peaks, I'm not going to do anything too spoilery because this is all from the first episode, so you don't have to skip ahead, but it's worth watching, by the way. But the first episode, it's Laura Palmer is dead. That's the scene we open up with, is Laura Palmer has been killed. And so now the whole series apparently is going to be figuring out who killed Laura Palmer. And in the first episode, her mom, the actress who plays her mom, is doing the most over-the-top, soap opera-y, melodramatic take on this. I mean, she is this grieving mom, and she, I mean, moans and wails like you've never seen. Just chews up scenery with this. And all of her overacting in this regard is punctuated by this over-the-top music and these camera cuts, scene cuts that just feed right into it. It just, oh man, it was just killing me. And I'm just laughing. But the rest of the show was not quite as campy or over the top. And so I thought maybe she's just a bad actress. Maybe I'm not supposed to be laughing at this. Maybe I'm supposed to be taking it seriously. I don't know for sure. But you know, I know it's David Lynch and I know it's supposed to be quirky and weird. And so I didn't know for sure if I was supposed to be laughing. But yeah, then by episode 3, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I am. The show just entertains the crap out of me. It is quirky, just doesn't even begin to describe it. It is just bizarre. And there's so much like that it's playing out like a real dramatic story, but with these elements interspersed that just completely throw everything off kilter, and it's really beautiful. I'm really enjoying it. And like I say, episode 5. I just started episode 5. So, I'm barely into it. And Farva warns me that, by the way, oh yeah, the last half of season 2 is just gonna suck. You're just gonna have to deal with that. Okay, I can do that. But at least I'll enjoy season 1. We'll see how it goes. So I'll keep you guys posted. But that's what I'm listening or watching on TV right now. That and obviously Once Upon a Time, but I think I mentioned that already. We've been so busy. Haven't had time to get to more of that yet. And now Daredevil's starting again. Daredevil season 2. Again, you all have Netflix and you're all nerds, so you know Daredevil season 2 is right there. Oh, when am I going to find the time? Oh, man, I've got to stop going to work. That's what I need to do. That's it. We're done with Roku. Next up, the Unnamed History segment.
Don't know much about history.
All right, just be prepared. This is going to be a little disjointed and a little pointless, but it was fun for me. Just like the rest of the podcast. Thank you. That's my lovely wife over there with her constructive criticism. When I'm listening to Hardcore History, which is one of my very favorite podcasts, if you don't listen to Hardcore History, please go do it. In fact, episode 2 just came out today of his King of Kings series. He's going through the Persian Empire, and awesome stuff as usual. But when I listen to Hardcore History through all of his 50 some episodes he's put out, one of the things that strikes me about history, especially as he describes it, is how much we don't know. All right, and not just how much I don't know, but like how much nobody knows about history. Absolutely can't know, because all right, you look at when you look at Greek history, Chinese history, these were awesome cultures. They had professional historians, they had bureaucrats, they had people that wrote down everything going on. Right, but even then, from those two as just my primary examples, we only have what was actually preserved, what survived history. But outside of literate cultures, I mean, we've got empires, cities, trade cultures that rise and fall on every continent, by the way, except Antarctica. Don't be pedantic about that. Australia also. I don't think the Australians ever got out of the Stone Age until they got visitors from the outside. I think. Anyway, I don't need to dwell on it. The point is still there. That we've had these massive cultures, huge things that have happened on every empire going on for thousands of, or on every empire, on every continent for thousands of years. For a lot of them, the only picture we get of these really vast, complicated empires is where they brush up against the more familiar to us, the more letter-inclined cultures. We know about a huge number of barbarian tribes in Europe because they kept invading the Greeks or the Romans or whoever, and so the Greeks and Romans would then write that shit down and keep track of them, and that's how we know. And so usually, the Incas, the Mayans over here in the Americas. We only know about them because, the Spanish and Portuguese showed up and started invading people. But again, these were cultures that had huge cities, you know, huge trading cultures and all sorts of stuff. I mean, all sorts of stuff that was there that we just, again, all we know about is what their conquerors, their invaders can write down for us, which gives us a really stilted view of them. And so I thought, okay, I know Incas and Mayans. I know a bunch of the European barbarian cultures. I know a bunch about like the Mongolians, the people that have the horse peoples that kept over and over coming out of the great steppes of Asia, and that, you know, I mean, again, you know, huge kingdoms and tribes of people living all through Asia that we didn't see anything about until they finally got big enough or pushed enough people out that they started again brushing up against what we call more civilized cultures. I realized, okay, Africa, there's a weakness in my area of knowledge. I can't think of any great African empires off the top of my head. Not because there weren't any, but simply because, you know, I'm very Eurocentric and I just have never studied there. And so, I was going through them and I found all sorts of really interesting stuff. And then this is where I get all disjointed. Because, I mean, again, you know, all this starts off because, I mean, for me, you can refer to barbarian cultures anywhere. And when I say barbarian, in my parlance at least, when I say barbarian, I'm just talking about people that were not a literate culture. They weren't people that wrote things down, in the traditional sense. So they don't have the written history that would be, you know, preserved exactly as it was put on paper or stone or papyrus or whatever they used, and passed down to us in that way. So when I say barbarian, I'm not implying anything other than the fact that they didn't have writing. That's all. And so where was I? Oh, I was in Africa. That's where I was. And so I was looking at various African empires. And again, same with the rest of them. A lot of them we know because they were on the coasts, because they were trading with Europeans who came through, or trading with the Chinese on the other side, or Indians, or they were trading with somebody who was actually bothering to write things down. And I got to the Jolof Empire of West Africa. And as I was reading through, they were fascinating in all sorts of ways. But the one that caught my eye was that they talked about different occupations that people could have. And one of them was the griot, G-R-I-O-T, griot. And I believe that's from French, but, you know, don't quote me on that. But the quote I get, and this is, I think I'm just copying this from Wikipedia here, griots were employed by every important family as chroniclers and advisors, without whom much of early Jolof history would have been unknown. And, okay, this is fascinating to me, because the first line I saw was that, you know, griot as an occupation says every important family employs a griot. Really? Okay. So I look into more of that. What exactly does that job entail? Especially as preservers of history. And so, okay, I'm looking at, I actually wrote down a citation. You guys should be proud of me. This was Paul Oliver, in his book, Savannah Syncopators. All right. And the quote is, all right, though the griot has to know many traditional songs without error, he must also have the ability to extemporize on current events, chance incidents, and the passing scene. His wit can be devastating and his knowledge of local history formidable. I'm like, oh, it's a bard. I get it. See, that's easy for me. I know bards. All right. That it was the idea. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized it was very traditionally what I think of as the bard, the potentially, wandering, but, minstrel, the guy who, or woman, because there's actually many women in this occupation as well. They were known as praise singers. So they would be hired, by a rich family basically to sing their own praises, which then leads me to Monty Python and the bard following Sir Robin around the whole time singing his praises, or lack thereof. But they were known as praise singers, but it wasn't just for bolstering whoever their patron was. It was, you know, gossip, satire, political commentary. The idea that they had to be able to not only know the epics, the old histories, and be able to pass those along, but also to be able to pick up on current events and to entertain and be witty on anything that's going on. I was just fascinated. I didn't even realize that this, and again, in a very advanced sort of culture. So this, I didn't have any idea that this existed in this form. And you'll look at pictures of them, and they still, the tradition, still continues today. So you can see the history of the last, 300, 400 years and their how the look has evolved and changed. It wasn't just the Joloff Empire that employed them as well. So it would be a little disingenuous to kind of imply that there's one specific type. But it was just fascinating to me. A little disjointed. I'm going to kind of trail off here without any real point. It was just a fascinating piece of history. And then the other fascinating piece of history that, with my time, I'm not going to go too far into it. This is a whole different segment. But my son Aiden just did a report on Buzz Aldrin. And in listening to the information on it and walking through it with him, Buzz Aldrin was way more fascinating than I expected. But maybe I'll save that for next week. Because after we got done with it, and I was like, I'm just hooked. And he's like going through his presentation and I'm asking questions and I'm trying to, add stuff or clarify stuff with him. And he's like, well, are you going to do this on your podcast then? Because you seem to be hooked. I'm like, oh man, I really should. But you know what? That's next week. That's next week. I've already taken up my history moments this time. Let's see. Is there anything else? No. There is nothing else. I made it really short on the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. And instead, we're going to go right to the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every podcast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And before we check out the number, which is 62, I'm going to give a little explanation and then a plea for more Pod-O-Matic entries. So for anyone who's not familiar with the podcast, yeah, I actually have a Pod-O-Matic bubble that I tore out of a Star Wars-themed trouble game. And inside is R2-D2 and a couple of dice that I put in them there myself. So every time we pop the number, there we go. Every time we pop the number, we get a result from 1 to 100, and I look it up on my little chart, and that chart is full of listener-submitted entries. So whatever you guys send to me, I add it to my list, we roll it up, and then I answer those questions. and I bring it up now because my list is starting to get a little skimpy. I'm down to 115 entries left this week. So starting next week, maybe the week after, we're going to be down under 100 then. I won't be able to fill out a full list anymore. So it's on you guys. Send me 2, send me 1, send me 100. I don't care. Well, don't send 100. That gets a little crowded. But, do your usual, guys. Send me 1, 2, 5, 20 questions at a time, and I will repopulate my list, and we'll be good to go for another few months. So anyway, straight on. Okay, the first one I re-rolled, but the first one was 62. I did tell you that, so let's see what we've got. 62 comes from, I'm not even close. There we go. Too far. 62 comes from Kyle, and Kyle says, is access to proper medical care and treatment a basic human right? Even if you think it's not, should it be? And by access, I mean the right to receive the medical care, not just access. All right. Oh, okay. Man, that was really jumbled. He added on. All right. Anyway. The access to proper medical care and treatment, should be a basic human right. It absolutely should. And in fact, we've got a portion of that in our country right now in the fact that basic medical care, emergency medical care, is guaranteed. It may be expensive. It may wind up breaking you in the end. But right now, if you show up at an emergency room, they can't turn you away. All right? You're not allowed to be turned away because by law, we have recognized that, look, if someone's got something seriously wrong, we are obligated as a nation, obligated to treat that person. We're obligated to take care of them in some way, and we recognize that. Do we do as much as we should? Maybe, maybe not. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Proper medical care should be a basic human right. I'm with you on that one. 48. And let me number this one so I don't lose it. 48 comes from? Oh, it's from Zimny. Hey, Zim. And Zim says, the traditional Chimera has grown kind of stale, and so it's time to update it and make it fresh again. Come up with a new three-headed beast that can terrorize villagers and challenge mighty heroes. Wow, Zim, you are way too late on this because they already invented this. Well, and then it disappeared again. But it was the three-headed beast of Simon Cowell, Paul Abdul, and Randy Jackson, sent to terrorize the common folk. And then, of course, you know, they changed hosts and all. I don't know. What? Goat, lion, serpent isn't enough for you? That's not scary enough? I would, if I had to come up with my own new chimera, I would probably pick out, I don't know, what is most scary to people? Cause clearly serpent is still right up there. Snakes scare people. Spiders scare people. Rats scare people. So I want a spider. All right. Giant spider with the big old spider head right in front. And then coming off either side of it, I would probably do a big old rat's head on one side. And then we'll maintain the serpent, the snake on the other side. I think that's the best I've got right this moment. You got one, Lisa? Oh, she's over there looking. She's being thoughtful as if she's trying to come up with something for it, but maybe she just has something stuck in her teeth. I can't tell. So. Oh, it's a mouthful of sunflower seeds. Close enough. All right, let's try another one. 78. Oh, wait, okay. Now that she's gotten through her mouthful of sunflower seeds, I should back up now. She wasn't indicating that she didn't have anything. She was just indicating that she couldn't talk because of the sunflower seeds. As it turns out, her idea is she actually wants the middle head to be a baby, a helpless, innocent baby, being threatened on either side by probably the serpent on one side and, I don't know, a giant gnashing monkey on the other side. I have no idea. But either way, that poor baby in the middle is going to be crying constantly because whatever the other heads are doing, it keeps hurting the baby in the middle, just to make it extra terrifying. Although, now that I've said monkey, puppy monkey baby. Obviously, puppy monkey baby. They don't go together as three heads, but puppy monkey baby is pretty damn creepy all by itself, right? I mean, I'm not mistaken here. Alright. Alright, so anyway. 78. Hold on. Okay. My wife has one more thing to add. But just by the way, by a show of hands, who thinks Lisa should just come on over here on the mic with me and just be my permanent co-host every episode? See? They love you. Did you hear that? They love you. You should join us. Nah, she's still shy. But that's okay. But what she's showing me, and this is worth it, because I completely forgot that we had this. Our friend Misty had a post about the puppy monkey baby. This is from Facebook. All right, and I'm just reading Misty's words, so all credit to her. So I was thinking about puppy monkey baby today, and it stirred up a conundrum. If you were driving down the highway and you accidentally hit it, should you leave it in the side of the road? Because, you know, it's two-thirds animal and would technically be roadkill. Or do you have to call the police because it's motor vehicular manslaughter? Do you call Child Protective Services because someone was being neglectful and not watching the baby part of it? What about the zoo? I mean, do you have to notify them because it's illegal to keep monkeys as domestic pets? Or maybe the circus because it can play the maracas? Or the ASPCA or PETA for animal cruelty and neglect? CPS to cover all the species involved? Do you have to scoop it up and taxidermy it? Because damn, it's a puppy monkey baby. And that shit would look good on your wall. Actually, if I saw puppy monkey baby, I would hit it on purpose probably because I sort of don't like it. So I guess it's probably just murder. Yeah, just plain unadulterated sweet, sweet murder. That is so typical of everything she posts. I love reading her. All right, anyway, now we're on to number 78. What? So I almost broke her laptop and now she's upset with me. Ah, some people are so sensitive. All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I should just pause here, but I'm not gonna. Number 78 is from, it's from Kyle again. And Kyle says, excluding furries, what's lower on the nerd totem pole than Dungeons and Dragons? or any RPG players. Is it magicians? Ventriloquism? Anything? Oh, man. You know what? I would have loved this question a year or two ago. But now, I don't like putting people down. I would feel bad, even as a joke. I would feel kind of bad naming any one particular group. I mean, lower down, what, less street cred than what, playing Dungeons and Dragons? I mean, yeah, you know, look, I play it off like it's cool and all, but, you know, we all know the truth. I mean, man, I can't even think. I mean, I don't want to take a cheap shot at anybody because, you know what? Everyone's got their thing, all right? And I'm not going to tell somebody that their way of having fun is any better or any worse than mine, all right? Okay, maybe people who are LARPing Vampire the Masquerade while sitting at Denny's, maybe. But you know what? Even then, who am I to judge, right? Right. 58. Wait, or maybe LARPing while playing an online game all alone with your Viking helmet and barbecue fork. Maybe. But again, not judging. Anyway, 58. 58 is from... Let's roll up. Oh, darn it, missed it again. There it is. 58 is from Eliahad. Oh, hey, Eliahad, how's it going, man? He says, what's your favorite track off the new Sphere album? And then in parentheses he says, yes, I am this needy and need validation from outside sources. Oh, well, then that answers my question. My favorite track off of the Sphere album is All the Rowboats. I love that song. That's, Lisa says that is her favorite as well. I love that track. Absolutely. Now, for all the rest of you, who are not familiar with Sphere Ensemble and haven't listened to, I don't know, any episode I've published in the last 6 months and heard this already, Sphere Ensemble is, a group that, includes my friend Dave Eliahad here, and Sphere Ensemble put out their first album, Divergence, what, 6 months ago, 8 months ago? How long has it been out? Anyway, you want to listen to it. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. So there you go. That's the plug. And your validation. 60. 60 comes from Ronster. Sweet. Ron says, what is one place you visited as a child that you would like to take your kids to? That's tough because most of the places I went to as a child, we've actually gone back to. I mean, one of my favorites was Jackson Hole, Wyoming when I was a kid. I was probably 14 when we did that, 15. I loved Jackson Hole and that was great. And we did go back there, with the kids. We went to Yellowstone and Jackson Hole was one of our, I mean, we stayed a night in Jackson Hole, two nights, and it was really nice. And then, the beach down in Florida or any beach. We would like our kids to see the ocean. And the two older boys have been to the beach, but they barely even remember it because they were teeny tiny. And, I mean, Aiden was probably only 5-6 months old at the time that we did it. So, that was a long time ago. So yeah, we would like to go back to the beach. Like our kids to see the ocean and spend a few days there. We might even be doing that this summer. We'll see. So, but other than that, I'm trying to remember all the places we went when I was a kid, because, I mean, we went... or a missile silo. If we could go inside an abandoned missile silo. I saw that as a kid, and I would love to be able to do that with my kids, mostly because I would just love to be able to do that myself, and my kids would be a great excuse to go along for that. But, yeah, probably right now, ocean. 32. I think this one's going to be the last one. Let's see. 32 is from... Oh, maybe we'll do one more after this. Oh, it's Eliahad again. And Eliahad says, Dunkin' Deathmatch, cake donut or yeast donut? Cake. Yeah, I like both because, you know, I'm a big fat slob and I'll eat any donut. I mean, jelly-filled, cream-filled, frosted, glazed, powdered sugar, I don't care. Yeah, I'll take any donut, but the cake donuts are the best ones. At least where we get our donuts, we go to Casey's, which is a gas station chain, and they have pizza and they have, you know, deli food, and they also make their own donuts in house. And so almost every weekend, I'll drive over and we'll get, you know, a half dozen Casey's donuts and some coffee. And everybody has donuts on Saturday morning. And we love those. And out of all of them that they have, I love the cake donuts. I love just a plain old, whatever their vanilla flavor is for the cake. And then with the brown frosting on it. So that would be what, maple frosting? I have no idea what the flavor is supposed to be. But man, those are the best. Absolutely love cake donuts. So, and I think I may be, in the minority on that one. I don't know. Everyone else, what's your vote? Cake or yeast? I have no idea what everyone else takes. I would assume that since everywhere I go for donuts, there are always way more yeast donuts in the display cases than there are cake donuts. I would assume that means that the yeast donuts are more popular. That would make sense, right? But yeah, I like cake all the way. Got it. 76. And 76 is, it's from Ronster. And Ron says, what is your favorite marsupial? I do know the answer. I see you say favorite marsupial. I'm immediately looking at Australian animals and trying to figure out which one I like best. I was going to say wallaby, because I'm fond of the wallabies only because it was only a few years ago that I learned, you know, the difference between a kangaroo and a wallaby? Size. That's it. They're pretty much all the same kind of animal. Just the wallabies are the smaller ones and the kangaroos are the bigger ones, except that there are some smaller kangaroos that are smaller than the average wallaby and some larger wallabies that are larger large enough to be in the kangaroo category. So there's not even a really good dividing line. And I always thought that was really interesting. I say always, I mean in the last few years since I've known that fact. But no, my favorite marsupial is still the opossum. I love possums as a creature, as a concept. I don't want to run into one. In real life, every encounter I've ever had with a possum has been horrible. All right. There is no good encounter with a possum in real life. It just doesn't happen. We had one trapped in our garage once, and my oldest son went out to walk the dogs. We weren't home. He was babysitting everyone. He must have been 16, 15, something like that. He's babysitting. He goes to take the dogs out, and there was a possum in the garage. And so the dogs start freaking out about it. The possum, of course, is panicked because there's dogs in the garage. And so it winds up hissing and foaming and releasing whatever foul odor it is that possums release when they're scared, and faked dying. And oh, just nasty. There's nothing good about a possum in real life. But as a creature, as a study, I find them fascinating. I mean, they are these primitive bone-headed mammals that have all these throwbacks to older evolutionary times, and all these bizarre survival techniques. I find them fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Again, in theory, in real life, horrible, vicious, bitter little creatures. That's what they are. Well, that didn't roll at all. Let's try again. There we go, 39. And 39 takes us to, oh man, this list is long. I gotta find a faster way to do this, you guys. Boy, I'm bad at this. Well, why? Oh, I see why. I'm sitting here, you know, okay, when you're in anything with a scroll bar on the side of it, if you click above or below the scroll bar, you're expecting it to page up or page down. It's supposed to go a whole chunk. And for some reason, I'm in Google Sheets right now because that's where I keep my Podomatic list. And I'm clicking above and below my little scroll bar thing. And instead of doing a whole chunk, doing a page down at a time, it's just doing one cell at a time. No wonder it's taking me so long. Huh. I wonder if that's a permanent change or if that's just something I screwed up while I was rolling through stuff here. Who knows? This one, our last one, is from Kyle. Kyle says, is texting the new phone call? Yes, it absolutely is. Because most situations where I might have used a phone call, most situations, oh, you know what? I'm just fine texting. Send the information over. You know they've got their phone. You know they're going to see it. And eventually they'll get back to you. And if they don't, if they missed it, whatever, well, hey, oh, well, I sent you a text. It's like in the olden days, you know, way back, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, before we all had cell phones, Did you ever have those times when you'd go to call somebody because you really need to get this taken care of, and you were relieved, thrilled to death when you got their machine? Because then you could just leave them a message, and, oh, look, now the ball's in their court. You've done your duty, and you didn't actually have to talk to somebody in person. Oh, how nice was that? Well, now, with text, that's every single interaction. If you don't feel like talking to somebody, you send them a text, and then it's not like when they text you back, you have to immediately start up a back and forth and communicate with them. You usually do. You certainly can, but you don't have to. Now you've sent them a text, ball's in their court. Now you don't have to answer again for, you know, a day if you don't feel like it. I mean, you still gotta be polite, but, oh, good Lord, so much easier when you don't have to, talk to people face to face. So, yeah, I can see that. All right. Oh, but I'm sorry. He had more to his question. He says, is that a bad thing? Well, no, it's not a bad thing. It's just a different thing. Kyle says, I used to think it was, but now I think it makes me more precise in my communications via text. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Once you can write it down and you can think about what you're saying, absolutely. So maybe it's not so bad, but still, it bugs me. It bugged me until I got really good at texting. I mean, for the longest time with our kids, it was like, seriously, you're going to text? You know what? For the amount of time it takes you to type it all out, you could have just picked up the phone and called them. It's a phone in your hand. You could have just dialed the number, talked to them. Conversation would have been over in 30 seconds instead of spending 10 minutes texting back and forth. I found that really, really annoying. And then I got better at texting, and now I do it all the time. And yeah, and I have absolutely no problem with it. I still, you know what, for a lot of things, I still prefer the phone call just because it's easy to miss a text or it's easy to pretend you missed a text. And a lot of times, especially if I think that there's going to be some back and forth, that I'm going to send something, if I'm anticipating that they're going to have a couple of questions, then yeah, let's just talk. Let's just get it done with quick. For me, it's whatever's going to be faster. And a lot of times that is text. If it's just sharing a piece of information, all right, done. We can move on. All right. Anyway, that is the end of the Podomatic. And, before we get into the credits, I will leave GLaDOS to give you guys a summary of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, I think it was just Wonderful World by Sam Cooke. So, all the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You want instructions on how to make your very own Pocket Mod? Oh, go to pocketmod.com. They're awesome. You want to do something nice for my podcast? Recommend it to a friend. Honestly, that's the very best thing you can do for me, because if you're enjoying it, please spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Remember, I am always looking for you guys to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic, especially this week. I'm desperate. I need some more. Please watch every week on the forums, Facebook, other places for my listener betrayal. If you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, or if you want to tell me what Nerd Pride Radio smells like, give me ideas for co-hosts, sponsors, go ahead and send them all along. You know I'm going to put them in here because I am really lazy and I hate doing my own grueling research. So if you need to contact me, mike@nerdprideradio.com, at Nerd Pride Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, well, okay, this isn't true anymore. I would say the very best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. Sign up there, send me a message, we'll hang out together, become best friends of the world, we'll have fun. But unfortunately, you can't sign up for my forums right now because the register button is broken and I can't figure out how to fix it, and I don't have enough time to install new forums even though I have all the stuff I need for it. I gotta get to it. I gotta find, but it's gonna take me a few hours. I gotta find time to put in new forums, and I just can't. So in the meantime, you can't sign up for my forums. I want you to. You just can't. So if you're already on my forums, the very best way to talk to me is send me a private message over there. But if not, mike@nerdprideradio.com. Drop me a line. We can still hang out together, become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. I'm not going to do that. All right, and now it is time for listener betrayal. Before I start every podcast, I go out onto the internet and I post up in various places that I am recording. If you guys want to be a part of this podcast as I record it, all you have to do is reply to those comments, and I'll read off anything you put in there, except maybe this week. I went over to Fantasy Movie League, and I put in a thread there, and I put it out in the public section where there are technically thousands of users, although probably a couple hundred active. But it's Sunday night. It's kind of slow, so maybe it won't be too bad, because I'm worried that either no one responds or I'll have, you know, dozens and dozens like you guys have done to me occasionally on my own forums, and it'll be too long to actually read them all. That would be tragic, wouldn't it? So much feedback that it's just too much for me. It probably won't be that, though. Let's go in and take a look. Oh, that's not bad. Three responses. I can handle this. All right, hold on. Let's start off with Fantasy Movie League. Say done. And I'll even give them a big thank you. All right, the first comment is from Masters 8. Masters 8 is my partner in the crowdsourcing experiment that we're doing, and also best friend in the world. And Masters says, I can't do that, Dave. I mean, Butters. Butters is the name I go by over on Fantasy Movie League. The only thing I can say about, oh, Superman. Yeah, up above, I told them what listener betrayal was, asked for responses, and I said, hey, if you need any help on conversation starters, explain to me why Superman's not boring. Because, in my opinion, Superman can be interesting, but it's really difficult to make him interesting, and most of the time, Superman is just dull. Dull as dishwater. How many years ago was that? 20? Where they had to kill him off just to try and make him interesting, and even that didn't work. All right. He says, the only thing I can say about Superman with confidence is that he would lose to Goku in a fight. All right. You are testing the limits of my friendship, Masters. I'm sorry. You have seriously, Goku? I've heard this debate before. Seriously, Goku? Superman is a Boy Scout with just about every power under the sun, but can be taken out with a rock. Well, yeah, that's the whole point, is that, I mean, okay, I get it. You're right. He's boring. Absolutely boring. Goku would best him easy and wouldn't even have to go Super Saiyan. Oh, all right. You're just speaking nonsense at this point. I will grant you that Superman is absolutely boring. I got that. But Goku, come on. Not even worth talking about. Superman would take him down in a heartbeat. And then Masters replies again and says, oh, and don't forget to talk about how awesome I am and how I'm your best friend and that you're lucky just to know me, but not in a bragging sort of way. Make it sound aloof. Oh, wait. I'm just name dropping. Oh, yeah. Masters 8. Yeah. He's a friend of mine. Sure. We hang out all the time. Yeah. Of course, I've been working on a project with him. Oh, great guy. See, so now all of those of you who know Masters 8 and, or you've heard of him, obviously you wouldn't know him personally. You guys are peasants, peons. What would you know? But you've heard of him and, the legend that is Masters 8. And so now I drop his name casually like that. You're all impressed, right? It's pretty awesome. All right. And then next one comes from, Brooklyn Double Feature is the name of this account. Brooklyn says, here's something for you to tackle. If you're up for it. All right. I'm ready. What is it exactly that makes Heaven is for Real open to 22.5 million? Miracles from Heaven opens to 15 million. God's Not Dead opens to 9 million. And The Young Messiah opens to just 3 million. Four religious films with varying degrees of success. What's the secret? All right. Part of this question is that, religious films are a wild card when you play Fantasy Movie League. So trying to guess what they're going to open up at, no one has any clue. And a couple seasons ago, we got hit with War Room. And War Room was a completely unexpected success. The thing took off and caught everybody off guard. And so a lot of people who play the game are a little bit obsessed with how well religious movies are going to perform. And, I mean, not just how well they open, but also how well they maintain their value from week to week. Because it's also kind of been common knowledge, and I put that in quotes, common knowledge that religious movies kind of hold their value really well over time. That, you know, they'll only drop, you know, 30% from week to week, whereas the average movie would drop 40%. And yet now we had, Young Messiah, which opened up to a crappy 3 million and then dropped 70% this week, just absolutely took a nosedive. The difference between them, I can't really tell you. I honestly have no idea. I can tell you what's wrong with Young Messiah. Young Messiah is because it is not a traditional Bible story. It is not based on biblical tradition. It's based on an Anne Rice novel. Yeah, Interview with a Vampire, Anne Rice novel. So, therefore, Young Messiah, while it's dressed up to look like every other religious-themed movie here in this Easter season, it's actually, again, it's based on a novel by a woman who wrote... Did you read... Which vampire novel was it? The sixth one? I can't remember. Where at some point, Lestat manages to travel in time. Lestat, the vampire, travels in time and takes Jesus' place on the cross. So it actually... In that particular novel, and again, man, I'm probably misremembering a bunch of details, but in that particular novel, Lestat goes back in time, and Jesus wasn't resurrected. No, it was actually a vampire posing as Jesus. And that's, see, that's funny, right? And so this is this same woman who, again, has great attention to historical detail, does some really amazing, colorful stuff in her books. But, you know, that's the sensibility that is writing The Young Messiah. And I haven't read The Young Messiah, so maybe it's presumptuous of me to judge. But again, it's not, you know, there's this huge blank period in Jesus' life, if you're going just with biblical sources, where, you know, okay, we have his birth, and then we have him up to a few years old, we just get little glimpses of stuff, and then suddenly he's 33 and beginning his ministry, all right, or 30 years, anyway, whenever the ministry starts. And we have this huge gap in between. As he's growing up. And so here's a story that addresses some of that missing time. And so it's going to be, one would hope, you know, true to the spirit of Jesus' life and the biblical stories we have, but is going to be mostly just supplemental fiction outside of that. So that's my guess on how that one went so wrong. But I have no idea what the rest of them. I can't guess those movies any better than anyone else can. Which, by the way, is how Brooklyn finishes. It says, yeah, you might not have the answer. No, I don't. Not sure any of us do over here. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. We have no clue. All right, we're done with Fantasy Movie League. Let's move on to what do you guys want next? You want Facebook or you want Nerd Pride Radio? I say we go with Nerd Pride Radio. All right, ready? Done? And oh, I got a few responses here, too. All right, nice. All right. Sorry, I'm on my phone. Bad reception in here. It's going to take a little bit for this to pull up. You guys just have to be patient with me. All right. And, yeah, four responses, most of them Kaz. Kaz starts off with serious topic time. Oh, all right. I'm up to the challenge again. I'll have you discuss it. Recently, a couple people my age that I knew passed away. One was a good friend's older brother. He happened to be my age. The other had been a coworker. He was killed in an accident at his new workplace. I've been numb to it so far, sad that a good friend lost a brother so young, and down because now people my age are dying. Have you reached that point of adulthood yet? And if so, how are you dealing with it? Okay. For the most part, I'm still pretty oblivious and immortal, but my grandfather was only 10 years older than me when he died of a heart attack in our bathroom. So, it's approaching, and it's the kind of thing that, yeah, you think about it occasionally. I'm not having people around me, people my age, dying or coming close to death. But it is something that it's there to be considered. And for example, I'm fat, as I've mentioned, and there's a certain weight that I get to where the position I sleep in, I will sometimes in the middle of the night, if I'm laying on my arm just right, I cut off circulation to my arm, or I pinch the nerve in it, or whatever it is, and half of my hand goes numb while I'm sleeping. And usually, you know, once the hand goes a little bit numb, it's uncomfortable and it wakes me up. And so, I'll shift position and, you know, it only lasts for a couple of minutes. And then, you know, I roll over and my arm is fine. But a while back, I was so tired one night that I fell asleep on it, and I must have had it pinched like that for ages. And when I woke up, I mean, it took forever for my circulation to recover. And afterwards, the next day, my whole arm was sore. It was my left arm. So starting from right up underneath my armpit there, where I pinched off that artery accidentally, and running all the way down my arm, it was just sore all day. And it wasn't until after I'd been sore with it all day, that I thought, wait. I've got this soreness, this pain running down my left arm. Oh, crap, that's the sign of a heart attack. And then I realized, oh, wait, but no, that's not what's going on. I knew right away when I woke up it's because I laid on my arm wrong all night. But still, you still have to consider that possibility. And then, you know, by the next day, yeah, it was just fine. It was, you know, as if nothing had ever happened. So maybe I just suppressed a heart attack with mind over matter. You never know. I mean, that's one of the advantages of being immortal, right? But fortunately for me, I do have regular checkups with my doctor, and my heart is amazingly healthy. Surprisingly healthy, they said the first time they checked, for a guy of my size with high blood pressure and bad cholesterol and all of this other stuff. And I take medications to control it, and everything has actually been really well under control for a good long while now. And my heart is really healthy every time I get it checked. But, boy, I still got to lose some weight, and I still got to be careful about it. So yeah, I'm thinking about it. I mean, my own mortality, but it's not something I've had to face in the same way you have. So I'm sorry for you, for all of that, because that sucks. All right, what's next from Kaz? And now, for less of a downer subject, I'm making Made Right loose meat sandwiches for work. Have you ever had the Made Right experience? Nope, I'm pretty sure I haven't. I'm not a big fan of loose meat sandwiches. Just not. I mean, I'll go with a good sloppy Joe. I mean, give me a good sauce that's thick enough to kind of keep everything together. But in general, not a big fan. Yeah, that was the. Did you guys see the Facebook video? Or it was probably from YouTube, but we saw it on Facebook where they're giving the 2-year-old sloppy Joes, and he's in his high chair, and he opens the sandwich and he refuses to touch it because all he can go is he can just look at it and go, it's poop. I'm like, no, it's sloppy Joe's. Eat it. You'll love it. It's poop. Wouldn't touch it because it's poop. So yeah, that's what your loose meat sandwiches look like. And then, DM Dark says ice, cubed or crushed. Boy, that is a tough one. Depends on the drink. Cubed probably because crushed ice melts too fast. And I usually drink my drinks slowly. And so, unless it's going to be ice water. In which case, it's fine if the ice melts fast because it's ice water. But otherwise, I prefer cubes. So just because, again, I don't want my drink all watered down if it takes me forever to get to it. That's me. Kaz says, cube! All right, wait, he says cube, most notably in tea. All right, and he says tea as a capital T. So I thought he was making an ice cube, iced tea reference, which he may still be, and I'm just not quite clever enough to figure it out, but I think he's talking about actual iced tea. So anyway, not iced tea, the wrapper, the drink, iced tea. I can't believe I have to say, all right, I have to explain everything. Sheesh. All right, and then that is it for my website, and the last listener betrayal should be out on Facebook. Let's find out what's out there. I'm going to make a wild guess. Let's see how my psychic Kreskin powers are working here. I'm going to say Sarah Beth and Nelly. Let's see what we get. Oh, darn it, my psychic Kreskin powers have failed me. It's just Nelly. Nelly says, hey, guess what? You're awesome. We're at IKEA right now, and I love it. How do you feel? Love or hate IKEA? I've never been to IKEA. I'm pretty sure I've never been to IKEA. but I do like cheap particle board furniture that I can put together myself. I'm a big fan of that, so I would assume that I'd love IKEA, but I don't have any evidence of that for sure. But as long as I'm here on Facebook, I've got a post from Kaz on Facebook on my timeline right here. Says, reposted from Senator Grimlock, who is a Twitter account that's been tweeting at me. And Senator Grimlock in this says, respond to this in your best Neanderthal robot voice. So the quote is from Senator Grimlock. Me, Senator Grimlock, angry with Congressbot Johnson. How overturn useless Senate? Oh. That excellent question, Grimlock. By power of vote. That's all I got. I man, that was lame. All right, that was really lame. Let me try this again. Hold on. Grimlock, first you vote. However, an unfortunate aspect of system that sometimes money by vote more than people power, not phrased correctly. However, campaign finance reform? I got nothing on this. Man, you guys are tough. All right. That's everything I've got for listener betrayal. Thank you for the betrayal, Kaz. I appreciate that. Guys got anything else? I think we're done. So, you know what? I appreciate you guys showing up. I appreciate all the feedback. Please get me some questions for the Podomatic. And otherwise, I will see you guys all next week. I love you all. Say goodnight, Lisa.
Goodnight, Lisa.
Say goodnight, R2. We're out.